Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I am Dr. Vincent Medici, and my friends, you're going to have to really reach deep today to get this one. This show is a little different. This show is about tribes, people who live today using computers and doing all the things that modern man does, and yet they still resonate with their genetic intelligence of thousands and thousands of years ago. Now, irregardless of your worldview, we all have to admit that we were around 5,000-6,000 years ago in a completely different ecosystem. And we all have to admit that we weren't put here originally as farmers. That there was, at some point in world history, hunter-gatherers. Well, the statement today, the concept I want to give to you, and you're going to have to reach into you to see how much of you resonates with this. But what I want to give to you today is that I am certain, as are many others, and I'll make some, I hope, outstanding arguments today. But I am certain, from watching you, my patients, clients, so on and so forth, come into my office for a couple of decades, I'm certain that people are out there today, stuffed into little cubicles, under fluorescent lights, suffering needlessly, hammering themselves with great effort to try to keep up with everybody else. And your genetic expression is very different than the lifestyle you're imposing on yourself. I'm going to shift now. And if you're by a computer, even better yet, go to a site, just Google up the word Göbekli Tepe. G-O-B-E-K-L-I-T-E-P-E, Göbekli Tepe. Göbekli Tepe is the Turkish Stonehenge. Stonehenge. We all know Stonehenge. A good 25% of us, well, maybe not that much, but a high percentage of us emigrated here from England, Ireland, Wales, Scotland, a long time ago. And in southern England, in Wiltshire, is, of course, the megalith Stonehenge. We estimate that Stonehenge was resurrected sometime about 3000 BC, Stonehenge 1, that is. And these were not unsophisticated people that did this. From the standpoint of architecture, the skill required to put up Stonehenge, let alone whatever it was there for, they think it was a site to study the heavens, to study the stars. But irregardless of what it was, who constructed it, is one simple fact that no one argues. It's a complicated, technologically advanced structure that went up around 3000 BC. Well, in 1994, the world split open. It really did, but nobody told you. And that's typical of great discovery. In 1994, a sheep herder in Turkey, that's right, Turkey, in the Middle East, Turkey part of the European Commonwealth, Turkey today with a powerful economy, in Turkey, some sheep herder saw some stones sticking up out in the middle of absolutely nowhere, ended up contacting the German Archaeological Institute, the German Archaeological Institute in Istanbul, Turkey. And in 1994, a man named Klaus Schmidt, an archaeologist, says, and I quote him, "As soon as I got there to the site and saw the stones, I knew that I, the archaeologist, that if I didn't walk away immediately, I would be there for the rest of my life." Wonderful moment. Klaus Schmidt knew in that moment that something was about to change. Something was going to impact history. And now I want you, in your spare time or now, to get on nationalgeographic.com or smithsonian.com. Both of them. And I want you to research publications about Göbekli Tepe. Again, G-O-B-E-K-L-I-T-E-P-E. Because in both these publications, as well as in the most credentialed universities across the world today, there is a massive consensus that Göbekli Tepe was built 11,000 years ago. That's about 9,000 B.C. And it's infinitely larger than Stonehenge. It is much, 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 much bigger. And no one knows who built it. Nobody knows what it means. And yeah, there's not total unanimity, but there is massive consensus, and it is not fringe. It's not those people that think aliens have invaded. It's not the National Enquirer. It's Stanford and Harvard and high-end credentialed archaeologists who, off carbon dating and other things, are dating the site 11,000 years ago. National Geographic and the Smithsonian are not going to publish and make blatant statements like this unless they've backed it up. They have too much to risk. In other words, this is not a guess or a joke. But what's relevant to you is that Göbekli Tepe was built by hunter-gatherers. That's the conjecture. It's even more than conjecture. So shrouded in mystery in terms of what it is, why it went up, why there's really no settlements around it, why we only find the bones of animals there, amidst all this mystery. From everything we know, in 9,000 B.C., we were hunting and gathering fruits and nuts and berries and seeds. We weren't farming. This is a pre-agrarian time frame. And then the anthropologists and archaeologists start to speculate as to why this was built. So we look at Stonehenge. We look at some of the world's great megaliths dating back now in controversy. We have monuments in Bolivia, in the Middle East, in India. Many of those dates are being challenged today on multiple levels. But the point is, someone back then, before we began to farm, was trying to reach out to the sky. Perhaps ignorant, perhaps innocent, however you want to look at them. They were trying to understand their world. but putting up megalithic structures that they should not have had the technology to build. This is very curious. And what it gives us is a little bit more insight into the same genes, the same genetics that live strong in many of you today. Because we've replaced this hunter-gatherer mentality, and I'm going to get into that later, but we've replaced this hunter-gatherer tribal, savage, beastly, unnecessarily cruel, right? The savage tribe of the Amazon, the savage of the American Indian. And yes, a lot of this is dying out. 100 years ago, we may have thought of the third world as savage. Now we're starting to understand, perhaps, they have their type of wisdom. Let's not make this religious. This is not about religion. I want you to understand that deeply. This is about the intelligence, a form of intelligence, that modern man tends to overlook. That only people that have the time and money to go on vacation today can still enjoy. Sharpening of the senses through discourse with nature. Dwindling nature. Nature you don't find in Beverly Hills. So here we have our 11,000-year evolution from some high intelligence 10,000, 11,000 years ago. And my point is, this is simply a flash in human evolution. 10,000, 11,000 years in the course of evolution is not a lot of time. That's not your cup of tea. 6,000 years. Whoever stood on the earth before we farmed have genes that are manifesting today, and they're not very different. The point is, we are asking people in modern electro-technical gizmo society to adopt lifestyles that we had many thousands of years doing very much the opposite of. Now, that's not big news. Not really. But watch where we go. Watch where we take this. I want you to consider the Vikings. Now, the Vikings in 800 or 900 AD. We know this now. They're even changing the history books, little footnotes. That the Vikings in 800 or 900 AD, I remind you, sailed in boats as sophisticated as any ships that have ever been built. It was the Phoenicians and the Vikings. And both those ships represented advancements in sailing technology that even today we're in awe of. And they hit Newfoundland, they hit Canada in 800 AD. I want you to get a sense. Have you ever been out in the ocean in a boat? Think of that experience, your first experience on the open sea. Kind of puts you in a different place, doesn't it? Some of you can't do it. Some of you are phobic about it. Can you imagine people that would go out on a boat for months in the middle of oceans? In their case, not blatantly being told they were going to fall off the earth. Remember, in 800 AD, the earth was flat. And if you sailed out far enough, you'd fall off. I can't imagine what mistakes we're making today.